This morning we're going to be reading from Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. Matthew 11, starting at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Well, you can think about all the rain and the chaos from last weekend, or you can think about some of the cancellation of things that have gone on just lately, or you can think about COVID, or you can think about all the crazy stuff that's going on around the world, or you can think about the relational, maybe the relational strain, breakdowns you're facing at work, family, wherever. So I think what might apply to a lot of us are words like anxious, uncertain, disappointed, hassled, busy, tired, stressed out, and it's only March. You know, where is the 2022 we were promised, right? How would a long, deep, refreshing, reviving rest go down for you right now? And you can think of the ads that have been pumped out these days for us. You know, would you like a Airbnb or stays rest? Could you do with an overseas trip rest? As the Tones and I Qantas ad goes, "I had a dream that I'd just fly away." Would you like to just fly away? Except because of COVID and quarantine, it's sort of still hard to fly away. And when life, you know, is full of rain and flooding, it's a little bit hard to fly away. And when you've got little kids and life is so hectic, it's just so hard to fly away. And look, it's expensive. Not everyone can do it, just fly away. Look, we all love the idea of rest. And maybe you had a rest way back in Christmas. But, you know, right now, two months ago, feels like 2 years ago. So I want to give you some good news. You can have rest. And I don't mean to talk about God like he's a holiday destination, but really, truly, in Jesus, there is rest. And you don't need money. And it's not short-lived like your last holiday. Rain nor COVID is going to cancel this rest. It's a rest not for your body. It's rest for your soul. And it's deep, and it's real, and it's everlasting. And the only qualification, the only requirement for you to enjoy this rest is to take the invitation from Jesus and come to him. That is it. So let's hear what Jesus is saying to us today. Have a look there at verse 28. It's a wonderful, jam-packed little section of words from Jesus. But verse 28 says, "Come to me." That's his invitation. See how specific and direct and bold Jesus is? Says, "Come to me." And this connects with what he says in the verses just before as well, from verse 25, because we're given this inside look at his personal prayer life. He's the Son who's talking to his Father, and he says there from verse 27 even there, he says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Father chooses to reveal him." Jesus, as the Son of God, has this intimate relationship with his Father. So Jesus is not some impressive spiritual dude who's just popped up randomly and now has moral spiritual things to say. No, from all eternity, he's the Son. The Father knows the Son like a trusting, loving Father who's entrusted all things to his Son. So Jesus says, come to me. So there's no way to the Father but through the Son. So this is a statement that Jesus has exclusive rights. Jesus offers this exclusive way. So we need to take Jesus on his own terms. We saw this last time we were in Matthew 11, but Jesus spoke of judgment. He calls on you and I to repent. He says destruction is coming. Jesus is the one who judges. We can't muck around with Jesus. But he's also the one who invites. His invitation comes with exclusive rights, one-way rights. He says, come to me. You know, last week I was heading up to our new offices up at Petrie there, and was before the crazy weather weekend, but still there's a lot of rain last week. I think I must have driven past every warning sign. So I came up to that river crossing and the boom gates were down. I went, oh, that's right, I can't go this way. So to think about, well, now to get to Petrie, will I go that way or that way or that way? There was plenty of ways. But Jesus is saying, there's really only one way. Come to me. So here's one implication of this. If Jesus is the way, come to me, well, every other religion is not the way. But Jesus as the way also stands against every other way of life as well. We might not call it religious, but it's certainly a way of life. It's the way of I'll do me, you do you, as long as we don't hurt one another and as long as we can just pursue our own happiness and our freedom. Let me go living life my way. But that's not the terms that comes with Jesus' invitation. He says, come to me. And I realize this invitation might be met with a fair bit of skepticism. You know, you're walking through town and there's some guy in the corner handing out some leaflets and he's trying to hand it to you. You don't want anything to do with that. What can you offer me? I've got my life sorted out. Thank you very much. I know the skepticism. But I want to say give Jesus a go. He's not some dude on a street corner. He's the Son. The Father has entrusted all things to him. This is the invitation you don't want to walk past. So next, let's look at the promise that Jesus makes. Have a look there, verse 28 again. He promises rest. He says, come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This rest that Jesus speaks of, you could have the perfect dream holiday. You could have the perfect dream, no expense spared holiday every year. And that type of rest would be worth trading it all in to have this rest. But what is Jesus talking about? It's a beautiful statement. Those who are weary and burdened, come to me, I'll give you rest. Got to say, this hits home for me as someone who feels weary and would like another holiday. Now, I think Jesus is saying something quite specific here, but let's think about how you might feel weary and burdened. You know, you might just feel tired because you never get enough sleep, you go to bed too late, or you have a baby at home, you can't fall asleep. Sleeping through the night is what other people do. I know that experience. But you can just feel weary and burdened because just the way life marches on, you know, you bounce between work and home and work and home just on repeat. It's this sort of everlasting treadmill. Actually, I think there's nothing more unrestful than you come back to home, but at home there's conflict. So, you know, home should be an oasis, a bit of a place of peace. But when there's conflict, you know, home can be so unrestful. Some of us are very anxious about our kids. We wonder about their future. We wonder about what's going to happen to them. Or you worry about crazy house prices. Are you ever going to get into the market? That's your burden. Or are you anxious about the state of the world? You know, Russia, Ukraine, I think China is now a lot on our mind. I know some of you actually worried about a coming war with China. For you, you feel very burdened by that. Let's just chuck in COVID as well. There's tiredness, there's agitation, there's protest. Finally, we don't have to wear a mask today. We're just a little bit over it, aren't we? But we're feeling weary and burdened. Now, like I said, the guy who's preaching today feels pretty weary and busy, and I feel anxious about stuff. But this is not an empty promise from Jesus at all. Jesus does promise for those who come to him, there's rest. So we have to think about this. And we actually need to understand this idea of yoke that Jesus speaks of. I mean, have a look. You're going to see it in verses 29 and 30. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke was a piece of farming equipment. It was the timber beam that would go across two oxen or horses. They'd be linked. They would be yoked together so they could plow a field or they could pull a cart. You know, so Jesus has this idea of burden and yoke together. And it's going to be helpful for us to see another time when Jesus is actually talking to the religious leaders. So I actually want you to turn to Matthew chapter 23. Turn to Matthew 23, just a few pages along there. Matthew 23, from verse 1, where it says, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. Do you see that Jesus is talking about religious laws being heaped up on people? It's a load to bear. All these rules that if you keep it, you'll finally be righteous with God. It's a load to carry. Or also, we can go to Acts 15. This one's going to be on the screen. This is a moment when, in the early church, certain people were saying, well, to get to heaven, you need Jesus, plus you need to keep all the rules. It says, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles, that's non-Jews, a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. So here's the point. If you try to obey the law to be righteous, if you think by obeying some more, then God will accept you some more. If you believe by being just a little bit more good, then you're bound to be good enough for God. How exhausting. But that's not the way with Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, law keeping in order to please God, to get the pass mark for heaven, so weary. But Jesus says, come to me. Just trust. And Jesus did come. And he died in our place for our sin and our shame, so there's no work left for us to do. Jesus has done it. It's grace. It's a gift. It's rest. So we're talking about law keeping. I don't know if you think, oh, that's all rather sort of esoteric and distant and irrelevant, but it's not. It's very relevant. This is a word for every workaholic and every perfectionist and every people pleaser, for every person who has guilt and shame and every person who wants to do good and be good. I want you to think this in terms of, you know, wanting to prove yourselves. We're always trying to prove ourselves, aren't we? We're always wondering how people think of us. Do they approve us? Do they like us? Do they accept us? Do they validate us? It's true, isn't it? And it's tiring. It's exhausting to meet other people's expectations. It's exhausting to try to please others. It's exhausting to try to be good enough for God. certainly tiring for me. And even now as a Christian, unfortunately, I still think I have to prove myself. But what a promise from Jesus, that in Jesus there's forgiveness, there's new life and there's love and there's everything I need. He gives me rest. This rest is not about love earned. How could that be rest? This is love received. This is love unconditional. This is grace. This is why Jesus died on the cross for us. Rest is like coming home. You know, you come home and it's that place of love, and it's that place where you're known and you're loved and you give love. And maybe you wish it was more like that, but you know, you can get home and bag down and sigh of relief. And what's expected of you now just doesn't matter for a time. You're off the treadmill. Rest. Well, Jesus, he's not giving us, you and I, more stuff to do. Doesn't give you more rules to live by. He gives himself. So we can get off the treadmill of trying to prove ourselves to God and others. Jesus said, come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How wonderful. In this invitation from Jesus, let's see how he invites us now to take up his yoke. Have a look there, verse 29, where it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble and hard, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, Jesus condemns the burden, the yoke of having to keep to the rules. But notice, Jesus still says there's a yoke. It's just that Jesus says, swap the yoke of keeping the law for my yoke. For my yoke is easy, he says. I know we're not used to all this old-timey, farmy language, but we need to get this. To be yoked was to be connected. It was to be attached to something else. Like an ox attached to another ox, or a horse to another horse, the yoke kept them together. So imagine if you are literally, physically yoked to something. Imagine that you were yoked to a racehorse. You know, it's Flemington, it's Melbourne Cup Day, you're there in the stall next to a horse, and the gate opens. Imagine what that's going to be like for you. It's not going to go well for you. You'd be trampled, you would be killed. Or imagine that you are yoked to an oxen. And those oxen can work all day. To be yoked to an oxen, you know, who just goes up and down the field all day, you'd be exhausted, you'd probably die trying to keep up. So this is saying, Jesus is saying, it's not about there is no yoke. But what are you yoked to? Jesus is inviting you to be yoked to himself. To be yoked to Jesus is to be in unison, aligned with Jesus. You know, yoked to try to prove yourself. It's exhausting. It's a burden. Or to be yoked to Jesus, to learn from him, to live with him, to be his disciple, it's a yoke. But it's a good yoke. It's obedience, but it's good obedience. It's sacrifice, but it's good sacrifice. You know, when you're a Christian, you realize there's no other way, there's no other one you'd want to be yoked to. By the way, we're always yoked to someone or something. Yeah, it might be an official other world religion you're yoked to, but can be anything really. You know, if your mission in life is to be happy, if that's your mission in life, that's going to make you tired. And that's going to make you unhappy. You don't want to live with any rules, just your rules. Well, you're going to end up with a very empty and exhausting life. If your mission is to enjoy freedom, you're going to find you're never free. Wherever you're at today, think of the yoke you are living with. But come to Jesus. Come to him. Trust in him. He's the only way. Accept him. And take his yoke to follow him. His way is the only way, and it's restful. It's good. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is a beautiful invitation that Jesus is giving you and I today. And as the last thing, let's focus on the very character of the one who's giving this invitation to us. What is Jesus like? Well, he says it there. Have a look, verse 29, where it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, already we've seen in this passage that Jesus is unique. He's one with the Father. He reveals his Father. He's the only way. But being who he is, Jesus is not all puffed up and full of himself, looking down on us. Like he's just not the Son with the Father looking down on us like, look at that pack of losers. You know, when people spent time with Jesus, you know what would have been the one very clear, dominant memory and impression they would have had with their time with Jesus? Oh, Jesus, he was so gentle, so humble. The way he dealt with me, the way he helped me, the way he welcomed me, the way he wanted to spend time with me. And there's a whole book on this on our book table today. It's called Gentle and Lowly. It's just a wonderful read. A whole bunch of people at Christ Central have been very much helped by this read. We've got a couple more weeks of this bookstall, so get it while you can. Couldn't recommend it enough. And the author, Dane Ortlund, makes this point about verse 29. He says, Jesus being humble and gentle, he says, the posture most natural to Jesus is not a pointed finger, but open arms. Yes, Jesus speaks of God's judgment to come. He's one with the Father, but at the core of who he is, his heart, he's kind. He's accessible. He's open. So with this invitation from Jesus to enjoy rest, you know who's qualified and ready and able to come to Jesus? Anyone. Everyone. Who knows they need rest. Anyone who would just come to him. See, don't think you have to first unburden yourself for Jesus. That first of all, you've got to get your life together and clean up your act, make yourself a little bit less of a mess. No, your burden is what qualifies you to come to Jesus. The other day, Amelia and I were out in the garden, and one of the palm trees was the biggest slug we've ever seen. It was green, it was slimy, it was huge. I think we screwed up our faces as we're looking at it. We wouldn't want to touch it without a stick, really. Now, given what goes on in our lives, given our past, given our present, sadly, we might think that Jesus would rather reach out to us with a screwed up face and would rather not touch us, given what we've done in life. No. Jesus loves to embrace us. He wants what burdens us. That's what makes us attractive to him. Jesus wants the weary. Jesus wants those who don't have it together. Relationship with Jesus, you see, it's not a transaction. His rest is a gift. So come to him. Accept him. What an invitation Jesus is giving. His arms are open to us. Jesus gives rest. And I know we're all hunting for rest. We feel hurried and harassed. We're anxious, we're weary. Maybe we're always sort of hunting for a certain type of rest. You know, we want to escape the world, so we go into more gaming. We go to YouTube. We go to Netflix. We just keep waiting for the next weekend to come around, then life will be better. Or, you know, once we're at retirement, that's the rest I've always been wanting. But it's all surface rest. It's a rest that's never going to satisfy deep in our souls. You know, imagine the best sort of rest you can enjoy. You know, imagine you're sitting on a beach and you're watching a beautiful sunset. You're relaxed. You got your favorite drink in hand. You got some friends. You got family around. Work was last week. You've got nothing left to do but go back and sit around the fire, the campfire, if you're the camping sort, or maybe go back to your five-star hotel and spend the night on the lounge. I mean, either way sounds pretty good to me. I'd take either option, I got to say. But the reality is, it's probably going to rain the next day. And the following week, you've got to go back to work. And when you get back home, those hard relationships are there. And you're going to turn on the news. You're going to see the hard, scary things that are happening in the world. And, you know, you can be back to just wanting to perform and prove. And the tightness never goes away. But this is why we should take up this invitation from Jesus. Come to him and have rest. Jesus came to give his life so that we'd know everlasting forgiveness and love and acceptance. Just come to him. Take up his invite. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer to express that we want to come to him and take up his invitation to have rest. I'm going to pray a prayer, and it's a prayer for the person who's already yoked with Jesus, a follower of Jesus. But if you're praying this prayer and it marks the moment of a new beginning where you want deep soul rest, then please tell someone that this is a new beginning for you. Tell me as well, because we want to help you to see what life looks like when you're yoked to Jesus, when you're following him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. So let's come to him in prayer now. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that your arms are open wide. Thank you for your warm embrace, that you take us with our burden, with our weariness, with the ways that we've sought to prove ourselves, follow the rules, to see ourselves justified and validated and accepted by what we do. Father, you know our sin, you know our suffering, you know how broken we are. Father, we're not going to try to clean up our act, make ourselves better. We just come to you. Thank you for your warm embrace that you take us. And through what you did on the cross, forgiveness is ours, that you love us, that in you we have rest. Father, thank you for that wonderful promise that we have through our Savior Jesus, that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And help us to live that life where we live yoked to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. We want to follow you. We want to be yoked to you. Thank you for that rest, that deep soul, everlasting rest that only you can give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.